Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of the What I Am Reading podcast. Each week I'll be reading a short excerpt from the book that I'm reading, which is available for you to access from the school library. Today I'll be reading from Freak the Mighty by Rodman Philbrick. Chapter 2, Up from the Down Under. That summer, let's see, I'm still living in the basement, my own private Down Under, in the little room Grim built for me there. Glued up this cheap panelling, right? It sort of buckles away from the concrete cellar walls, a regular ripple effect. But do I complain about the crummy panelling or the rug that smells like low tide? I do not, because I like it in the Down Under. Got the place all to myself. Enough here of Graham sticking her head in the door and saying, "Maxwell, dear, what are you doing?" Not that I ever do much of anything. Grim has it fixed in his head I'm at a dangerous age, and they need to keep me under observation, like I might make bombs or start a fire, or whack out the local pets with my trusty slingshot, or whatever. Except I never had a slingshot. It was Grim who had one when he was my age. The proof is right there in the family photo album. You can see this blurry little miniature Grim with no front teeth, grinning at the camera and yanking back on his prehistoric slingshot. Good for whacking mastodons, probably. "Just proper targets," Grim says, closing up the photo album. End of discussion. Like, oops, better hide the evidence. Don't want to give the dangerous boy any ideas. Not that I have any ideas. My brain is vacant, okay? I'm just this critter hiding out in the basement, drawing in my comic books or whatever. Alright, I never actually draw, but you get the picture. Anyhow, this is the first day of July. Already counting down for the 4th. I'm wondering where I can get an M80. Which is supposed to have the explosive power of a quarter stick of dynamite or something. And when it goes off, your heart thuds to a stop for a microsecond. Wham! Which is probably what Grim was afraid of. Eek! Eek! Maxwell, armed with dynamite. So finally, I get bored in the Down Under, and I'm hanging out in the so-called backyard, your basic chunk of chain-link heaven. Grim keeps his crummy little mower in the shed, but what's the point of mowing dirt, right? Okay, I'm out there messing around, and that's when I see the moving van. Not your mainstream nationwide brand name mover either, just some cheapo local outfit. These big bearded dudes in their sweaty undershirts lugging stuff into the duplex half that's been vacant since last Christmas, when the dope fiend who lived there finally got busted. At first, I'm thinking the dope fiend is back. He's out of jail or whatever, and is moving his stuff back in. Then I see the fair Gwen. Not that I knew her name, that was a little while later. At first she's a glimpse, caught her going between the van and the front door, talking to the beards. I'm thinking, hey, I know her. And then I'm thinking, no way, butthead. Because she looks like some kind of movie star, wearing these old jeans and a baggy t-shirt. And her long hair is tied back, and she's probably sweating, but she still looks like a movie star. Like she has this glow, a secret spotlight that follows her around and makes her eyes light up. And I'm thinking, well, this improves the old neighbourhood. You're thinking, yeah right, the goon is barely out of 7th grade. Who does he think he is? All I'm saying, the fair Gwen had star quality. And the reason she looked familiar is, I must have seen her bringing Freak to daycare way back in the dark ages. Because the next thing I noticed is this crippled up, yellow-haired kid strutting around the sidewalk giving orders to the beards. He's going, hey you, doofus, yeah, you with the hairy face, take it easy with that box. That box contains a computer. You know what a computer is? I can't believe it. By then, I'm sneaking along the street to see what's going on, and there's this weird-looking dude. He's got a normal-sized head, but the rest of him is shorter than a yardstick, and kind of twisted in a way that means he can't stand up straight and makes his chest puff out, and he's waving his crutches around and yelling up at the movers. Hey, Gwen, one of the beards say, can't you give this kid a pill or something? He's driving us nuts. So Gwen comes out of the house and pushes the hair out of her big brown eyes and she goes, Kevin, go play in the backyard, okay? But my computer? Your computer is fine. Leave the men alone. They'll be done soon and then we can have lunch. By this time, I'm hunkering along in front of the place, trying to maintain a casual attitude. Except, like I said, my feet are going wild that year and I keep tripping over everything. Cracks in the sidewalks, ants on the sidewalk, shadows, anything. Then this strange little dude jerks himself around and he catches sight of me and he lifts a crutch and points it up at my heart and he goes, identify yourself, earthling. I'm busy keeping my feet from tripping. I don't get that he means me. I said identify yourself, Earthling, or suffer the consequences. I'm like, what? And before I can decide whether or not to tell him my name, or which name, because by now I recognise him as the weird little robot kid from daycare, and maybe he remembers me as Kicker. Anyhow, before I can say a word, he pulls the trigger on that crutch and makes a weapon noise, and he goes, then die, Earthling, die. I mutter out of there without saying a word, because I'm pretty sure he really means it. The way he points that crutch is only a part of it. You have to see the look in his eye. Man, that little dude really hates me. He wants me to die. Chapter 3, American Flyer. Okay, back to the Down Under, right? My room in the basement. Scuttle into your dim hole in the ground, Maxwell, dear. Big goon like you, growing about an inch a day. And this little kid, this crippled little humanoid, he actually scared you. Not the kind of scare that makes your knee bones feel like water. More the kind of scare where you go, whoa, I don't understand this. I don't get it. What's going on? Like calling me Earthling, which by itself is pretty weird, right? I already mentioned a few of the names I've been called, but until the robot boy showed up, nobody had ever called me Earthling. And so I'm lying on my mattress there in the Great Down Under, and it comes to me that he's right. I am an Earthling. We're all of us Earthlings. But we don't call each other Earthling. No need. Because it's the same thing that in this country we're all Americans. But we don't go around to people and say, excuse me, American, can you tell me how to get to the nearest 7-Eleven? So I'm thinking about that for a while, lying there in the cellar dark, and pretty soon the Down Under starts to get small, like the walls are shrinking, and I go up the bulkhead stairs into the backyard and find a place where I can check it out. There's this one scraggly tree behind the little freak's house, right? Like a stick in the ground with a few wimped out branches. And there he is. Hardly any bigger now than he was in daycare, and he's standing there waving his crutch up at the tree. I kind of slide over to the chain link fence, get a better angle on the seat. What's he doing whacking at that crummy tree? Trying to jump up and hit this branch with his little crutch, and he's mad, hopping mad. Only he can't really jump, he just makes this jumping kind of motion. His feet never leave the ground. Then what he does, he throws down the crutch and he gets down on his hands and knees and crawls back to his house. If you didn't know, you would think he was a kindergarten creeper. He forgot how to walk. He's that small. And he crawls real good, better than he can walk. Before you know it, he's dragging this wagon out from under the steps. Rusty red thing, one of those old American Flyer models. Anyhow, the little freak is tugging it backwards a few inches at a time, chugging along until he gets that little wagon under the tree. Next thing, he picks up his crutch and he climbs in the wagon and he stands up, and he's whacking the tree again. By now, I've figured out that there's something stuck up in the branches and he wants to get it down. This small, bright-coloured thing. Looks like a piece of folded paper. Whatever it is, that paper thing, he wants it real bad. But even with the wagon, there's no way he can reach it. No way. So I go over there to his backyard, trying to be really quiet. But I'm no good at sneaking up, not with these humongous feet. And he turns and faces me with that crutch raised up, like he's ready to hit the grand slam on my head. He wants to say something. You could tell that much, but he's so mad. He's all huffed up and the noise he makes. It could be from a dog or something, and he sounds like he can hardly breathe. What I do, I keep out of range of that crutch and just reach up and pick the paper thing right out of the tree. Except it's not a paper thing, it's a plastic bird light as a feather. I have to hold it real careful or it might break. That's how flimsy it is. I go, you want this back or what? The little freak is staring at me bug-eyed and he goes, oh, it talks. I give him the bird thing. What is it? Like a model aeroplane or something? You can tell he's real happy to have the bird thing back, and his face isn't quite so fierce. He sits down in the wagon and he goes, this is an ornithopter. An ornithopter is defined as an experimental device propelled by flapping wings. Or you could say that an ornithopter is just a big word for a mechanical bird. That's how he talked. Like, right out of a dictionary. So smart you can hardly believe it. While he's talking, he's winding at the bird thing. There's this elastic band inside, and he goes, observe and be amazed, Earthling. And then he lets it go. And you know what? I am amazed, because it does fly just like a little bird, flitting up and down and around, higher than I can reach. I chase after the thing until it boinks against the scrawny tree trunk, and I bring it back to him, and he winds it up again and makes it fly. We keep doing that. It must be for almost an hour, until finally the elastic breaks. I figure that's it, end of ornithopter, but he says something like, all mechanical objects require periodic maintenance. will schedule installation of a new propulsion unit as soon as the Fair Gwynedd Air gets a replacement. Even though I'm not sure what it means, I go, that's cool. You live around here, Earthling. Over there, I point out the house, in the Down Under. He goes, what? And I think it's easier to show him than explain all about Graham and Grim and the room in the cellar. So I pick up the handle to the American fire wagon and I tow him over. It's real easy. He doesn't weigh much. And I'm pretty sure I remember looking back and seeing him sitting up in the wagon happy as can be. Like he's really enjoying the ride and not embarrassed to have me pulling him around. But like Freak says later in this book, you can remember anything, whether it happened or not. Thank you very much for listening. Join me on the next episode for more of What I Am Reading. Until next time, look after yourself and stay safe. Bye!